You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
A warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action on the level at Wolverhampton and Chelmsford, and we're jumping at Bangor and Foss Lass. It's Luke Elder, Chris Pimlott and Paddy Aspel in the studio from 1:50pm. But first of all, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast to look ahead to the upcoming turf season and indeed four races on Thursday is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
I'm very well, thank you, Sam. And yourself?
Yeah, not bad at all.
Good.
Really looking forward to the turf this season, Sean. I mean, we've seen it's been back in Ireland a couple of weeks. We've already seen some potential good sorts in the Curragh. We had a meeting at Redcar, of course, on Monday, and we're edging ever closer.
Yeah, we are getting there. Doncaster, of course, the Lincoln starts this weekend. Traditionally, that was the curtain raiser, wasn't it? That seems to have died a bit of a death the last few years. And then we sort of have that little lull after Doncaster, which that seemed to have become tradition now. And then seemingly 2 weeks later, it gets going again.
Yeah.
Many people now feel, I suppose, that the Craven meeting really does mark the start of the turf, because that's when the good horses come out en masse, and that's when we can sort of build up towards the first classics of the season, the 1 and 2,000 guineas, only a few weeks later. So, yeah, whilst it's exciting to have Doncaster back, and it is good to be having it back on the scene bit by bit, I'm sure many people are sort of wishing the next fortnight or so away, hoping that we get to the Craven meeting and then we get into it properly. We've got turf racing every day.
Although, to be fair, I mean, we've still got two big jumps festivals to go, and we've still got Aintree and Punchestown to tide us along. I was having this conversation with someone the other week. We kind of go very, very stale in January and February, and then after Cheltenham starts and finishes, it all sort of, as you say, ticks along nicely. We've got two big jump festivals and then the turf.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, we've got Doncaster this weekend, but then Aintree's the next weekend, and Punchestown isn't far on the back of that. And we've just enjoyed Cheltenham, but also a great meeting at Ferry House over the weekend.
Yes, yeah.
So yeah, if you like a little bit of everything, then this is a great time of year for you. But for those people who are more into turf racing than jumps racing, it is a little bit slow to gain momentum.
Yeah, sure. And of course, we get the mixed cards in Ireland as well, don't we? Which is a proper blend of the two.
Yeah,
if you like both codes.
They seem to work very well in Ireland and are very unpopular. The idea of them is very unpopular over here in the UK. I can see why it's unpopular. If you're a jump jockey, say, your scope for rides is only limited to half the card, or vice versa for a flat jockey. But they're popular with the Irish crowd, and they're something that have taken off. If you enjoy your Irish racing, then those cards are great.
Yeah, absolutely. With regard to the guineas then, because of course we're only a month away today from the 2,000 guineas, and we've had a line out of the Aidan O'Brien yard this morning, Sean. Air Force Blue has long since been favourite for this race, was even money with us. The price has been forced into 5-6 now on the back of Aidan O'Brien saying this is likely to be his only runner, which is rare for him not to have a couple of stabs at the race, at least.
Yeah, it is. Clearly Air Force Blue is very, very good. And maybe the colts they have in behind him mightn't be quite up to scratch. And also that they've got to consider the classics elsewhere, the French guineas and the Irish guineas. A horse like Hit at a Bomb mightn't be good enough to win an English guineas, but he might be good enough to win a French guineas, so he could reroute that way. I don't know what they're thinking or what's been said in the press, but Air Force Blue, you wouldn't mind having him as your number one, would you?
Yeah, of course.
Any stable.
Yeah.
He beat all that was put before him suffered defeat in the Coventry, but that was at a very early part of the season, and he improved no end after that and reversed the form with Burattino. I see Burattino was put up by Pricewise for the 2,000 guineas this morning, hence his odds have tumbled a little bit. He was 25-1, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Now into 16s. Emotionless, and there'll be people, emotionless fans that are hoping that he's back to his best after bombing out completely in the Dewhurst when he returned.
Did he come out of that with an injury?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He returned lame, so clearly wasn't himself. He'd looked very good up to that point, though, particularly when winning the Champagne Stakes at Doncaster. He looked a monster, and really the only horse that could have served it up to Air Force Blue at that time of the year. So there might be a little bit of value in him at 11-1, but I don't think we're going to see him. I think Charlie Appleby wants to get him ready at home and maybe give him a racecourse gallop. So you're taking a little bit of a shot in the dark at his well-being, I suppose, given that he's coming into the race on the back of that poor effort. But no, it's very, very exciting. And I think Air Force Blue could be potentially the colt to light up the season.
Yeah, hopefully so. Really looking forward to the guineas. On a personal level then, Sean, the yard at the moment must be getting runners ready for the season. I suppose you are probably chomping at the bit more than most to get going. I imagine it's been a long few months with no racing to go at.
No, that's it. We're looking forward to the turf getting going. And it's great in the morning around the yard. The horses are about ready.
Right.
So they're now just waiting in the wings. The first wave of horses, you've got the races plotted up in the calendar for the next month. Mm. You kind of know where you're going to go. You're just ticking down the days, and you're ticking the horses over as well, just trying to keep them in one piece now. The horses that are ready for the early part of the season, they're fit. They've been in training a good while. And then, of course, there are horses then that are going to be more summer horses, a few of the more backward two-year-olds that are maybe doing a little bit less than the others. But still, you know, they're strengthening all the time, and they're improving in their work all the time. It is a very exciting time of year. But we're all just getting a bit impatient. We want it to start now. I suppose.
I can imagine. Yeah, where's the first port of call for the Quinn horses? I know we've seen a couple out already, but the first real big one.
Yeah, we've only a couple in the Doncaster this weekend. Mm-hmm. Nothing of note really at Doncaster. But then we got the first northern midweek meeting, I suppose, next week is Pontefract.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday. And they've got a decent card. We've put a couple of horses in at Pontefract. And then the following week, you've got the Craven meeting. But I suppose the first big meetings that we'll be looking forward to will be Chester
the
in early
meeting,
May
yeah.
and York's May meeting.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a potentially reasonably good-looking type of yours at Wolverhampton as well. Karen Road the other night.
Yeah.
That must have been a pleasing win for the
Yeah, app. He won the feature race, didn't he, on Sunday at Wolverhampton. There's not a lot for him in April, actually. I've had a good look through the calendar. So he's a likely candidate to just be... we'll freshen him up now, Sam, I'd imagine, and aim him at either the Chester or York May meeting.
Okay, good stuff. There we are then. That's a little look ahead to the guineas and the upcoming turf season. We're going to move on to matters much closer at hand now and take a look at some of Thursday's racing. We've got four races picked out here, two on the level and two over jump. So hopefully a good blend of racing. We start with the 3 o'clock at Wolverhampton, a mile and a half handicap for us here with seven runners declared for it at time of recording, but Shrewd ran yesterday, so he's a likely non-runner in this one, which leaves six to go, actually.
Yeah, no Shrewd. He won well yesterday at Wolverhampton. We've got last year's winner, though, Sabrassi, coming back for another crack at it. Sabrassi has been in okay nick this time around, was fifth when last seen at Wolverhampton behind Winterlude in a better race than this, it has to be said, Sam. When he won this race last year, he was rated 78. He's running off 83 this afternoon, so he's only £5 higher. He hasn't had a whole lot of racing in between that time. He must have met with an injury last year, because he was off from April of last year to February of this year. So he's only had the three runs since winning this event. But as I say, that was a perfectly reasonable run behind Winterlude last time out. And you'd imagine this race has maybe been in the back of James Tate's mind for a little bit of time, given that he did win it 12 months ago. Others to consider, Bayan Kasirga was a winner here at Wolves two starts back, off a mark of 68. The handicapper didn't act too severely. He struggled at Southall last time out, but he wouldn't be the first horse put in a poor run at Southall. I'd be quite happy to forgive him that, given that it was his first start on the fibre stand. There's not every horse that goes on it. You'll find Gold. He knows his way around here at Wolverhampton. He was a winner at Southall in Claiming Company 4 starts back, and I think he might just struggle against one or two of these handicappers. He's decent in Claiming Company, but in a handicap company, he just seems to come up a little bit short. Brandon Castle is Andrew Baldy's representative. He has his string in at decent enough nick. This horse probably needs to step up on what he's done of late. So I think I'll go with last year's winner, Sabrassi. I hope he can build on that decent run. He takes a drop in class, as I say, from a class 2 last time out into a class 4 here.
Okay, Sabrassi then for Sean Backham to retain his crown in the 3 o'clock at Wolverhampton for James Tate and Luke Morris. We go for a jumping contest now at Bangor on D. This is their 3:45, a handicap chase here over 2.5 miles. 9 runners to go at for this one. Sean, what's on your mind here?
I am Colin. Will probably be one of the favourites here, Sam, given that he's been in good form all season but posted a seasonal best last time out at Leicester on very testing ground, beating Lord Landon by 9 lengths. He was a winning favourite that day. The handicap's put him up £10, but he's still fairly lightly raced over the larger obstacles. This is only his 5th chase start, so he might be open to a little bit more improvement. I am Colin. Little Jimmy is another horse who's enjoyed a good year for Tom Gretton. This horse won at Bangor last time out, beating Supreme Asset. He was sent off a massive price that day, 25-1, given that he'd been in such good form. I know he'd bombed out the time before at Haydock, but really around the Christmas time he was in great nick, and 25-1 was a bit of an insult to his chance last time out at Bangor. That was a 405. The handicap has only put him up £8, so Little Jimmy might have more to offer. Husey at the top, he has to bounce back from a poor run last time out in a race won by Johnny Oak. That was quite a competitive novices handicap chase, so this is a little bit weaker. He's gone from Newbury to Bangor. You know, he should find this pool of horses a lot easier to compete against. Of all the others, Mezendori wears the first-time blinkers. This is his first start for Rebecca Curtis, having been racing over in Ireland. He was in training with Willie Burke, Mezendori. He's interesting on his first start for Connections, but a watching brief might be advised on this occasion. I think I'll probably go with I Am Colin to back up his win last time out at Leicester, Sam.
Okay, I'm Colin then for Sean. Nigel Twiston Davis and Ryan Hatch teaming up on that one. We go to Fosslass now for their 3:55 handicap hurdle here. 2.5 miles the trip for the 7 runners. And there's quite a few interesting candidates here, Sean.
There are probably none more so than the top weight Drift Ashore, who carries a £7 penalty as a result of a win here at Fosslass only 11 days ago, Sam. We won really well, though, beating a nice horse of David Pipes in Batavia, and he beat him in really good fashion that day. Under this rider, Brodie Hampson, so she knows the horse. Her £7 claim will be of use to Drift Ashore. And I think he's definitely the one they have to beat. Calculated Risk has been in good form of late. He's hat-trick seeking, but he's won his last 2 races, albeit at the track. Both of them have come in selling company. He steps back into handicap company. He might find things tougher in handicaps, although it must be noted he's now able to race off 112, whereas around Christmas he was rated 130, so the handicapper has dropped him quite swiftly. Pilgrim's Bay has been very consistent for the Pipe team. Only found Santelm too good at market raising last time out, but you just get the feeling the handicapper might be in charge with Pilgrim's Bay. Wabnaki will be another one to consider. This is Wabnaki's first run in a handicap. He goes handicapping off a mark of 110. He's been running okay in novice hurdles. His best run probably came 3 starts back when 3rd behind Master Jake. But he was a winner here at Fosslass in Bumper Company, and I'd probably take a chance on him now he's going handicapping for a shrewd yard, that of Evan Williams. So Wabnaki, maybe the each-way selection here, Sam.
Wabnaki then for Sean, Evan Williams and Adam Wedge on that one. We go to the final race on today's podcast now. This is the 7:40 at Chelmsford. A handicap here over a mile and a quarter. Again, just seven runners for us to go at. Sean, what do you like in this one?
Well, I think Mystical Spirit, the top weight, is a decent starting point. Martin Mead's horse, ridden by Paul Morenan. Again, he was in the saddle 2 weeks ago when this horse beat Chelmsford Specialist Loyalty in quite a decent 0-85 event. Same class as this race. So I think Mystical Spirit's the one they've got to beat. Victoria Pollard could be interesting for Andrew Balding, given that she has only had the four starts. She won a Newbury Maiden early last year, then was highly tried, had two runs in listed company. Well, these connections wouldn't just run her in listed company for the sake of it. She came up short, but her last run at Salisbury went third behind Frenzified was a good run, and she might be the type who could have more to offer this year, Sam, as a four-year-old. So I think she definitely has to go on the shortlist, Victoria Pollard. Whoopsie Daisy was a winner a fortnight ago, again here at Chelmsford, over a mile and a quarter. The same trip as this evening. Dark Red, I think you have to look twice when you see that Ed Dunlop has booked Ryan Moore to take the ride. So despite the fact he's had a 289-day layoff, this horse must be well-fancied and must be ready to do himself justice, else they wouldn't have gone to the trouble of booking the former champion jockey. But I just think Victoria Pollard could be a half-decent price. And as I say, she was pitched into listed company very soon in her career, suggesting that connections do think something of this filly. And I think she might be a half-decent price, Sam.
Victoria Pollard then. Andrew Balding and David Probert gets the nod for Sean in the 7:40 at Chelmsford. Can we just have a quick recap then, please, from yourself, Sean, of your four selections for the action on Thursday?
Yep, sure, Sam. In the 3 o'clock at Wolverhampton, we'll go with last year's winner, Sabrassi. In the 3:45 at Bangor, I'm a fan of recent winner, I Am Colin. We then go to Fosslass for their 3:55 race. In that, I'll take a chance on the bottom weight, Wabanaki. And then finally, night racing at Chelmsford. We've got a seven-runner race, the 7:40, a competitive handicap. I'm going to take a chance on Victoria Pollard, who I think could improve at four.
Thank you very much. You'll be listening to the thoughts of Sean Quinn then. Best of luck with tomorrow and best of luck with the upcoming turf season as well, Sean.
Thank you, Sam.
And remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio tomorrow from 1:50 p.m. Luke Elder, Chris Pimlott and Paddy Aspel guiding you through the action at Wolverhampton, Bangor and Foss last in the afternoon and that evening card at Chelmsford City as well. Best of luck if you are having a bet on any of the races on Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.